Well, good morning. Glad you could be here. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here as well. For those that you might not know me, my name is Dan Adams from Webb City Congregation. I'm grateful that we can serve a mighty God and that He can enable us and empower us to live a life that's acceptable to Him. Your first time here, I'd like to say welcome and certainly want you to come back. I've written on the board aspiration. I think I got all the letters in there, but if I didn't, forgive me. Aspiration or testimony. The word aspiration, for the sake of our discussion this morning, means a strong desire or ambition to achieve something great. And the word testimony is, we're going to try to use it as a formal first-hand statement or declaration used as evidence to establish a fact. Aspiration, for the most part, seems to belong to the younger generation. And I remember having lots of aspirations that as a young person had to go through a period of qualification of whether they were worth pursuing or not. Sometimes my aspirations were things that my parents give me input on. Sometimes it was aspirations that became qualified or disqualified from my own observations. But I've lived long enough now that if I don't have some testimony about some of my aspirations, then you would begin to question what I've been doing for all these years. Some of you, as that are sitting here this morning, maybe have an aspiration for a particular occupation. When I was growing up, I had a little book that my mother would kind of keep track of each school year. And she would ask, well, when I was too young, I don't remember if I ever filled it out myself, but it had these standardized questions on the front, on the page, and it wasn't many, but one of the questions on that page, she would put maybe something I brought home from school, or my report card went in this little pocket or something like that in the book. And she would ask me this question that was on the page, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'm sure there's some children here today that have said to your parents, when I get big or when I'm grown, I want to be, and you fill in the blank, whatever it is. And I was no more different than any other little boy. I had aspirations of being a firefighter, or I don't remember all the things I put down, but something that looked glamorous, something that looked like adventure. It looked appealing to me as a little boy as I went along. But as I got older, not old, but older, as time unfolded, and by the time I got maybe seventh or eighth grade, somewhere along in there, the idea of being a firefighter didn't sound very good to me. That was something that got disqualified in my mind, and I'm thankful for firefighters, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't something that was continually appealing to me. So I can't testify to you today that I became a firefighter, because I didn't. Not that I haven't put out a few fires, but that has not been my occupation. Another one that probably by the time you're mid to late teens, that you have an aspiration for is, who are you going to marry? Somewhere between that mid-teenage bracket and early 20s, that has to be, I would venture to say, the saturation is almost 100%, is we have an aspiration to be married. There is something about, and I believe it's wholesome, it's good. I advise it. We all have those aspirations, and there's going to be maybe those initial thoughts that this one person, you have an aspiration that they would be your spouse at some time. They would just be perfect in your mind. You've had an aspiration like that, probably all of us, at some point or another. And maybe there's a few of you that actually married that person, and that one that you initially had an aspiration, that was the one that you ended up marrying. And I would say there's a lot of us here that initial aspiration of who our spouse was going to be ended up not materializing. It was something else that developed in life. We have aspirations of where we're going to live, maybe what the house is going to look like. All these maybe you have an aspiration of living in a house that's brick, or maybe a particular style, or whether it's got a basement or not, and all of these kind of things we can have aspirations for. But now that I'm on the backside of most of my life, then I have to be willing to testify to what's happened. So one of my aspirations as a young person was to fix mechanical things, to be a mechanic. And my testimony is that that's what I've done. I haven't changed occupations. And it'd sure be a bad time for me to change now. So that's my testimony. That's what I've done. I worked with my hands. Had aspiration to get married. And my testimony is that I've experienced that for a little over 4 decades now. And I would advise it, recommend it. Where am I going to live? You know, I don't know that I've ever had just... I've had likes and dislikes, but I've not had maybe so as strong aspirations as other people. Haven't moved a lot. I was just thinking I've only had 6 addresses in my life, and one of those was the house I grew up in. I've aspired to be a husband. And a stabilizing force for my wife, the father. My testimony is that my wife still loves me. My children respect me. I've aspired to be a pastor. And I believe my testimony would be that the congregation would miss me. My testimony has been that I've been successful in my line of work, been able to support my family and pay for a house. That's success. I'd like to talk to you today about an aspiration that's a little deeper than all of that. I have a song that I want to look at, and a psalm in the scripture. And I want us to think about the magnitude of what it means to aspire to something. I'll read the definition again. It's a strong desire or ambition to achieve something great. And I don't know where you're at today, and maybe the greatest thing that you can think of to accomplish in life and your most powerful driving aspiration today is, what are you going to be when you grow up? And maybe it's who you're going to marry. I don't know what yours is, but I want to tell you, below all of that, I'm going to tell you an aspiration that I've had. I'd like for us maybe to turn to a song that we have in our book. It's number 133. The title of the song is "Like a Rock in the Billows." Do you have an aspiration to be a rock in the billows? I would like to challenge you to have that aspiration if you don't. Because it's going to be something that will help you in any other aspiration that you have. You're going to be successful in your aspiration for your job. You're going to have some of this too. You're going to be successful in marriage for decades. You're going to have some of this. If you're going to be successful in your walk with the Lord in any kind of capacity in the kingdom, you're going to have some of this. And I don't know what kind of picture that you have in your mind of a rock in the billows, but I would venture there's waves involved and maybe something that's pretty substantial sticking up out of the waves. Maybe there's a wave that's crashing against it. And I'd just like to draw our attention to something that seems to be maybe pretty obvious to me, but maybe you haven't thought of it. If you think about a rock in the billows, that means that there was maybe some other things around it at some point. And maybe there were more rocks there. Maybe they weren't made of the same stuff, and maybe they weren't attached. Maybe they had fractures in them. But for some reason, the rock in the billows is the one that's left. And there has been something that's been around that at some point that has fell away. And just as your aspirations develop and mature and things fall away, and I told you earlier that at some point as a little boy, maybe first grade or something like that, that I wanted to be a firefighter, but I decided that was not for me. That was something that fell away. Not that it's bad, but that fell away for me. But to be a rock in the billows means that there has been some vacancies that happen around you. I want us to really think about that. This song says, "Like a rock in the billows, I would stable be till the storm is overpassed." Till all of the uproar that's going on falls away, I want to be stable. The rock that you see that's stable in the billows of the waves is not something that gets a break when you're not there to look at it. This is happening all the time. All day long, all night long, all year long. Maybe it's been there for centuries, which seems like a long time to us. But to be a rock in the billows means that you would be stable. And to be stable means that it doesn't move. It doesn't change positions. Sometimes to be stable is more popular than other times. To be stable, you'll find that there are times that you can be more favored than other times. It says, till the storm passes over. That means that there's going to be some tests that come that could very likely cause you to fracture, to cause you to be worn away, to cause you to be overwhelmed. But it says, like a rock in the billows, I would stable be till the storm is overpast. Then I long to harbor, Lord, with thee in my heavenly home at last. Life is can be very volatile. Life can bring us lots of changes. Life can bring us some hardships, not just cold weather or heavy rain or hot weather or what. It can bring us hardships and cause us pain in our hearts. There's disappointments. There's things that are unexpected that happens to us. But if we have an underlying aspiration to be a rock in the billows, I believe that we can be. This chorus of this song tells us how that we can be stable in the midst of the storm. It says, if I trust in Jesus and obey His word, if I lean upon His breast, if I keep low down at His feet, I know He'll give me peace and rest. In the times that you feel most distressed and you're most challenged to be something less than stable, this is what I have to turn to. If I trust in Jesus and obey His word. So I ask us this morning several questions. One, do we have a deep-seated aspiration to be a rock in the billows for ourselves, for our family, for the people of God? And are we trusting the Lord in the midst of our storm? While the storm is raging, are we doing the things that will enable us to be a rock in the billows? The next verse says, like a rock in the billows, I would never yield. You know, that's one of the characteristics of a rock in the billows, is they do not succumb to the outside influences. When it's not a mind over matter thing, but it's a taking of a position that we are confident this is where the Lord wants me to stand. This is how He wants me to stand. He says, I would never yield to the angry, tossing wave. I would cling to Christ, my sun and shield, for His power alone can save. Jesus is the one that I'm trusting in to help me to never yield when the waves are crashing around me. And maybe there's other seemingly substantial rocks around me that seem to be disappearing. Maybe they're wearing away, and maybe there's a fracture that develops. Maybe it's under the waterline, so to speak. And then all of a sudden it topples and is gone. Lord, help us to be like a rock in the billows. The last verse of this song says, like a rock in the billows, I would fearless stand. You know what it means to be fearless and take a stand? I don't know if I'm there yet, but it's an aspiration I have to be fearless when I take a stand. Because when we take a stand, it's only characteristic for us to have fears of what others would say, what others would do, and whether we'll be left high and dry. There's all kinds of fears that happen when we take a stand. And I don't know if I'm there yet, but I want you to know that's my aspiration. I'm not too old to have this aspiration to be like a rock in the billows. It says, like a rock in the billows, I would fearless stand and defy the threatening blast. Did you know we have a lot of threatening blast around us today? A lot of things that's blasting against being a Christian. And I would trust that you understand today that being a Christian is much more than a bumper sticker religion. Being a Christian is a change of heart and life. It's a commitment to something much more than what other people around us are doing. It's a commitment to Christ Himself. Like a rock in the billows, I would fearless stand and defy the threatening blast. For the Savior holds me by the hand till the raging storm is past. God will be with us wherever we go. He will help us to be. This, of course, said, if I trust in Jesus and obey His word, if I lean upon His breast, that's the secret of how I can be a rock in the billows. This song, according to some information that I got, was inspired by a psalm in Psalms 27 in verse 5. It says here, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. The Lord wants to set each one of us upon a solid foundation. He wants every one of us to be like a rock in the billows. Our society desperately needs rocks in the billows. Our society around us at large, if you want to be a missionary in our world, start out by being a rock in the billows. Being able to be stable in the time of threat, in the time of storm, don't yield to the pressures that the enemy tries to impose on you to be less than what God has called you to be. Don't yield to that. Be a rock in the billows. If you trust in Jesus and lean upon His breast, He'll help you. That's my testimony. He'll help you. I'd like to turn to another psalm, Psalms 42. This psalm, those that know more than I do seem to think that this was written by David during the time of his exile and when he was trying to avoid being taken by King Saul. As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul trusteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say, Where is thy God? So I'd like to say, in reading some verses here, that this is, if we begin to analyze what it was like to be where David was, we're going to find that many times this is some of the ingredients that goes into the recipe of being a rock in the billows. David said that he desired, his heart, he was as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He had a very passionate desire to be near to God. And he said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When am I going to be able to worship God in the tabernacle? Temple hadn't been built yet. When am I going to be able to be in God's presence in my home country? I believe there was a sincere desire there. He says, my tears have been my meat day and night. Some of the ingredients to becoming a rock in the billows is tears. Some of the ingredient into becoming a rock in the billows is pouring out your soul before the Lord, night and day. And he says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where's thy God? You know, there's going to be those that are coming against you that's going to be questioning, well, if you're right, why don't we see more of something, more evidence that you're right? You ever been in those places? I want to tell you, they can be some difficult places. But this is the ingredient, some of the ingredients of producing rocks in the billows, is when your very motivation, your very sincere desires is being questioned. Anybody in here like your judgment to be questioned? Now, it could be as simple as getting in the car and driving down the road and somebody turning and looking at you saying, you know where you're going? You enjoy that? I mean, if you're driving, I'd hope you knew where you was going. Very seldom does a driver say, well, I don't have a clue. Why don't you tell me? Most of the time as a driver, we would say, just be still. I'm going to get us there, right? But it still doesn't bring a pleasant feeling. I've been the driver. I've had my judgment. You going to turn here? Or why are you turning here? All those kind of things immediately cause there's irritation that happens during those times. But to be a rock in the billows, you're going to have to be able to stand. I know why I'm turning here. I know where I'm going. But it's not just driving your car. You're at the steering wheel of your life. Your foot is on your throttle. Your mind and your mind's eye is on your goal and your destination. And I want us to know that some of the ingredient in becoming a rock in the billows is when others are saying, where is your God that's supposed to be helping you? Why is your life look difficult right now? Why isn't things sailing along a lot smoother if God is so good? All of those are ingredients to producing rocks in the billows. Think about that. It says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Verse 4. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There's going to come a time that you can be able to be thankful that you did not succumb to those that said, where's your God? I think you need to change something here. You're not getting what you ought to be getting. You ought to change something. You know, we have evidence of those in the scripture that didn't change because of others that came along. How many of you would consider Job as a rock in the billows? I do. His friends came and said, Job, there's something wrong here. Where's your God? Well, Job, you have to acknowledge that you did something that's not right. You need to acknowledge that. We can move on then. And Job said, he knows the way that I take. And he didn't change. You know, to be a rock in the billows, you're going to have those kind of experiences. And I hope this morning that we're able to spark the idea in your heart. This is an aspiration that I want to have. I want to be a rock in the billows. I don't want to be tossed to and fro. I don't want to be like a little piece of bark just going wherever the waves would send me. But I want to be a rock. Not just for the sake of being a rock. But you know, there's people that's coming behind us, if time permits. Job is one of our rocks. Gideon is one of our rocks. It says in verse 6, Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Wherefore shall I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of all of Hermon? From the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Did you know that to become a rock in the billows, you're going to spend some time underwater. You're going to spend some time when you feel that not just some things, but everything is against you. You like to come up for air once in a while, but it seems like you're being pressed down on every side. If you cut loose from your anchor point, maybe you could float along on top. Maybe you could go wherever the tide of emotion might take you, or the tide of the current feelings, or the current thinking. I've lived long enough to see different foods go from the staple to the bad list, and now people say you ought to eat them. Eggs is one of those things. I don't know. I'm not a nutritionist. I just know that there was a time when we ate eggs. And then there came a time that you shouldn't eat this part or that part of the egg. And now I don't know where things are. They're just always changing something. I never quit eating eggs. I don't want us, and by the way, I like real butter, not that soybean stuff. Lord, help us to be willing to be underwater a while. It's what it's going to take. This is some of the ingredients. This is some of the experiences. When you're in there, you're going to be having to ask, Lord, Jesus, I trust you. I'm going to obey your word. The popular thing or the current thing or the advised thing might be to do something different. But I'm going to trust your word. And if I'm leaning on your breast and I'm underwater, I know if I keep low down at your feet, you'll bring me out and you'll give me peace and rest. I want you to be willing to be underwater. I don't like being underwater. Literal water. With the idea that I'm going to be there a while. I don't like that idea. And I don't like the idea of being underwater when it feels like that life is pushing me down. I like to be thought of in a positive manner. I don't think I'm any different than anybody else. But there's times when I've had those that didn't look on me very nicely. You have to be willing to be underwater. Verse 8 says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me in my prayer unto God. And my prayer unto the God of my life, I will say unto God my rock. God is the one that I want to be anchored on. Not people's interpretation of what God is. I want to have it for myself. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the opposition of the enemy? You know, we're going to have some serious questions for ourselves. Why is it that everything seems to be going against me? Why is it that I'm underwater? Why is it that people are saying, where's your God? You're so religious. I've had lots of negative things said to me over the years. Where's your God? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? A sword in my bones, that means the blade is sticking in me. That don't mean I've got a blade sticking out. When it's talking about a sword in my bones, that means that I'm being injured. Sometimes we're going to be injured to become a rock in the billows. And we're going to have to suffer some injury, maybe somewhat unjustly, especially if it's by the one that's saying, where is your God? I believe God is real. I believe Jesus is real. And I believe that He'll bring us out. And I believe He wants every one of us here to be a rock in the billows that's around. This world is so full of chaos. It's so full of drama. It's so full of erratic spiritual behavior out there. But I want us to all here this morning to have an aspiration to be more than that superficial thing. Oh, I've had aspirations for things of this world. And they brought a level of experience and fulfillment in my life. And I'm very thankful for that. But I have an aspiration that's much deeper than that. It's an aspiration to be a rock in the billows. I want the cause of Christ to be able to go forward past this generation. I want to be connected to something like Gideon was, like Job was, like the Apostle Paul got connected. You know, he had some aspirations that matured and got redirected. He thought he knew which way he was supposed to go until he come face to face with God. And when he did, God changed that. And Paul got a hold of God for himself. I want to challenge us here to get a hold of God for yourself so you can become a rock in the billows. If you're under, and when you come underwater, when others are looking on you and saying, "Where is your God? I thought you were a Christian. I thought that God loved his people," or whatever, that you're going to go underwater sometimes. And the waves are going to beat vehemently on you. But I believe these are ingredients that'll make you a rock in the billows. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted with me, within me?" Oh, we're going to have some times of discouragement. You're going to ask yourself sometimes, "Why do I keep trying?" That's one of the ingredients of becoming a rock in the billows. Is you're going to ask yourself, "Why do I keep trying?" He says, "Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." My God is real. He can be real for you. He can be real in your soul. He can make you a rock in the billows wherever you're at. In your family, in your congregation, in your community, on your job, as a parent, as a husband, as a mother, as a peer amongst other young people. You young men, be a rock in the billows. When you feel that you're going underwater, and when others are accusing you, and when others are saying, "Where's your God? I thought God helped you." Remember, you're just going through a little spot, and you're going to be able to come out and say, "I shall yet praise him, who's the health of my countenance and my God." I've told you some of my aspirations. Told you some of my testimony. I have an aspiration to make it to heaven. And to hear God say, "Well done, you pray for me."